time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
This 4th of July, I say celebrate a black woman that you know, because whether it's an invention that she made or whether it's the very democracy that still hangs by a thread right now, there is a black woman to thank for her contributions. When it comes to answering the question of what America owes black women, the answer is everything. When we think about the sacrifices that black women have made from the moment that we were stolen from our homelands and transported into this country.
And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world.
We have got to realize we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones!
Whoa!
We love you, Alex! I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more!
Hey, Libtard! Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
F*** you, Alex! Suck my dick!
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control. The CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh. Antifa speed bump. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to break down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage?
is insane. Or they're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the alexjonesstore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it. And the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be here for the next couple of hours. It's a great honor and pleasure to be with you on our 250th birthday as a nation. What an incredible fireworks display there in Washington, D.C. last night. Incredible fireworks display in my own neighborhood. Unexpected, but awesome, to say the least. And you know, as much anti-American sentiment as there is in this country today, as there is out there, we see it online, we see it everywhere, as much anti-American sentiment as there is today, we'll know this country is finally flatlined when you don't see those fireworks on July 4th, when people aren't out celebrating our independence in our country. And it tells you, it's a sobering source of inspiration. It should be a sobering source of inspiration. All of the people out there who celebrate this great country, and a lot of us, even me, we lose sight sometimes of how many people do share our beliefs, do share our values, do share our love of country, our love of God and family and common sense, more so than anything. In these days, we just got to hope for common sense to prevail, let alone God, family, country. So, It's sobering in the sense that there are people out there who think the way we do. You know, we are not as alone as we think. Now, we'd love to have more numbers, right? And that's why the great Alex Jones has continued to do the work that he's done, and the entire Alex Jones Network and this audience and all the other people around the country who love this country, who want to have a country, and continue to try and spread the word. You know, I'm in the belly of the beast, so I have a different take on how drastic things really are. I'm behind enemy lines already, an already failed communist state. A who's who of Democrat stalwarts, Democrat, figureheads, people who really represent all the problems with the modern day Democrat Party. From Tim Walz down to Ilhan Omar. But everybody up in between, up and down the line, all of them, Minnesota, cultural epicenter of American politics, no doubt about it. I mean, we have a who's who of bad hombres here in the state of Minnesota. And is this a failed communist state? People look at it and go, well, you know, people are moving there all the time. And like, you know, you have to start to gauge, what does it mean to be free? What does freedom really mean? That's the question we should be asking ourselves this July 4th, this 250th year of our nation. What does it actually mean to be free? Is freedom, I can go on my cell phone and say what I want? Is freedom, I can go down to local Applebee's and get a burger and a beer, watch a football game, or if you're watching the FIFA World Cup or whatever the case may be, is that freedom? Is freedom, I can go to a local bathhouse like they just approved here in the city of Minneapolis? You know, the kids can't read. The proficiency in Minneapolis public schools is below 40%. Below 40% proficiency ratings in the Minneapolis public schools, yet the city council has time for approving bathhouses, gay bathhouses in the city. I mean, it just tells you, again, I'm behind enemy lines in the belly of the beast. Stupid gay communists are everywhere. But, you know, is that freedom? It's like, you know, to some people, I guess we have to, you know, all the easy answers all these easy questions, all the easy answers are behind us now. We have to make some real tough decisions about what it means to be American, what it means to be a citizen, what it means to be free, what it means to be righteous, and on the other end of things, what it means to be occupied, what it means to be subverted, what it means to be a slave, ruled over, what it means to lose your sovereignty. And, you know, this guy, Sneeko, I don't really know much about him. I've seen him on a lot of internet video clips and whatnot. And I know I've seen him a few times with, maybe might be Fuentes, might have been Tate, might have been Myron Gaines. I've seen him a bit, you know, out there. And it's just like, first of all, these guys were never cool. It's a knock on the state of our nation and the culture when people like that are even prominent. And I guess I noticed this over the last couple of years anyway, and the advent of social media and streaming becoming a crazy, crazy, crazy phenomenon. And I noticed it first with the young kids, with the little ones, who there was this booming enterprise, this booming audience and taste for young kids watching other young kids open and play with toys. They watch other kids open toys and play with their toys. They watch them play video games. People watch other people play video games. It's just really a strange thing to me. I don't know what else to say about it. It's odd. It's insanely odd to me. Maybe I'm just like, you know, stupid, unk millennial or whatever the case may be. You know, I got the gray hairs and the linen suit on and whatnot, and it's just maybe I'm out of touch with things, but not in my house. I mean, I'm just not interested in watching anybody else play video games. I don't mind podcasts. Podcasts are great. If it weren't for podcasts, we'd have lost this country already. So I'm not against podcasts. I'm not even against streaming your life. You know, some of these guys I see, they're streaming their daily life, but I just mean it's a sign of a decaying and declining culture when people are more interested in watching other individuals doing trivial things than building something themselves. And there's a direct correlation, in my opinion, to our loss of sovereignty. It's like, of course you don't believe in being the master of your own universe if you're more interested in watching other people do meaningless things versus build your own whatever. Of course, there's a direct correlation. And then you find yourself watching some clown, and that's what he is. He's a clown, you know, out there screaming for every city to become overrun with Muslims. It's like, again, I was out there on what, you know, where was Sneeko when the Uyghur Muslims were being thrown in concentration camps? When I was out there waving the flag back in 2022 and saying that the Uyghur Muslims were, you know, being genocided by the Chinese Communist Party, by the CCP, where were the Sneekos of the world? Where were any of these people? Where were any of these Muslim or Arab leaders in the Middle East? Where was Erdogan? You know, where were any of these people? MBS, any of them, none of them. They all bent the knee. And this is what I'm saying, and I'm not afraid to say it, and they could, you know, they could say what they want, but they know the score. I mean, the history speaks for itself, and I get a lot of Turkic people who send me messages and correspondence online and say, thank you for speaking out for our people, because a lot of our own leaders won't even do it. Why? And that is the ultimate question. Why? Why were people so hesitant to talk about the Uyghur Muslims? Could it be that China's greasing everybody's palms? You know, China's over there in the Middle East and Africa and in Asia and even parts of Europe, greasing everybody's palms. Here in America, greasing everybody's palms. Everybody's on the China gravy train. Could that be why people's standards for humanitarianism, ethics, morals, justice, social welfare and whatnot change on a dime? When you start to talk about China, everybody's money gets affected. But my point is, this is a problem. This is the fight that we have. We have a problem with Zionism. We have a problem with radical Islam. We have a problem with Marxism. We have a problem with the LGBTQ. Thank God we made it out of the month of June yet again. And I'm spinning here. I mean, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, because to me, I just for the life of me, I do not understand why we need 30 days to celebrate being gay. I just don't get it. And even furthermore, it's not that I don't understand the narcissistic impulse of gay people to want to make every single day of a month be about their sexual perversions or sexual identity crisis. It's not that I don't understand that, because I understand that well. That narcissism tracks perfectly. What I don't understand is how Americans, and that would be you and I, all of us collectively, stood by and watched as our nation normalized 30 days of LGBTQ celebration. And I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, but I'll say it here because I wasn't on last weekend. It's all just gay. You know, lesbians are gay. Gays are gay. Bisexuals are gay. Transgenders are gay. Queers are gay. And the pluses are super gay. So, I mean, why do we need 30 days to celebrate that? You know, even if we had one day, and it's like, that's the litmus test for the left. What's wrong with one day? I don't understand. Well, what's wrong with just having one day for you to celebrate being gay? Wouldn't that be more equitable to the rest of the people and their difference of beliefs in the country? No. The narcissistic impulse of the LGBTQ and the radical left is what we think is the gospel. Just happens to be anti-gospel, happens to be anti-Christ, happens to be anti-American, happens to be anti-human, happens to be anti-common sense. Man, we've put up with it. I hope everybody had a great time yesterday. I really hope everybody did. You have to have fun. You know, fun is necessary. What would life be without fun? But let it mean something. Let the pride and the joy of our nation mean something more than the fireworks and the barbecues and the time at the lake or wherever you spent your time yesterday. Let it mean something. It doesn't mean anything if we turn around the next day and let these clowns like Sneeko, you know, you can let every city, inshallah, every city becomes Muslim. Really? See, and it's almost like they're, and this is what really bothers me. And I was saying this the other day about relationships with women. If you're a man out there, heterosexual man, and you've ever been in a serious relationship with a woman who is super dysfunctional, unhinged psychologically, you have encountered this where, at some point, what you're arguing about isn't what you're really arguing about anymore. And it becomes clear, that the intent is to cause a bigger fight so that maybe you lose your temper and you say something profane, and then that reinforces her manipulative and false claims that you're abusive or violent or, a bad guy, bad hombre, right? If you've been in a relationship with a woman who I certainly have, I've experienced it several times, at least minimum. But it's like, I'm going to say everything I can to get you to react. And then when you react, I'm going to say, see how he is. And that's super gay. I mean, that's gay for women to do. That's gay in a South Park kind of way. Right. But I think that a lot of these Muslims are gay. I'm just going to be honest with you. That type of behavior is gay to me. Like, they're egging on Christians, and then when Christians or Westerners or Americans or, you know, the Zionists or whoever it is, when we clap back, and I say we very loosely because I don't count myself with the Zionists one bit, but we just so happen to be part of a historical military alliance. Unfortunately, we happen to be part of a historical military alliance. And when we clap back, all of a sudden, everybody cries wolf. Everybody cries, you know, boo-hoo. It's like, well, what is even that? You walk up, you spit at my feet, spit in my face, threaten me, you talk loud, you get aggressive, you get disrespectful, you get the teeth knocked out of your mouth, and that's just the way it usually goes in society. I mean, across the Chernow House of History, that's kind of the universal common denominator of the way men interact with one another. If you cross a line, if you cross a boundary, things get physical, and sometimes things go bad. Tragedy strikes. It happens. It happens. Not saying it's a good thing. Not saying we shouldn't try and overcome that impulse, but it happens. But a part of that is also natural justice. It's like, you can't do whatever you want to do without consequences. That's just life. That's a universal axiom. It's like part of the fabric of reality. Action, reaction, cause, effect. Choices, consequences. And you can see the through line between the Marxists and the radical left and radical Islam and these Muslims, because they really believe that whatever they think and say should go with no opposition whatsoever. And when you oppose them, like Jasmine Crockett, that's why I played her in the cold open. When you oppose their stupidity, their illogic, their break from reality, when you oppose them, they cry victim. They say that they've been victimized. You can't even call them stupid. Like, if I call Jasmine Crockett stupid, there'll be an entire echo chamber of the social media platforms that says, Royce is disrespectful to women. You see, he's a misogynist. He doesn't like black women. I don't like stupid women. And to pretend that Jasmine Crockett is a representative of the most broadest, archetype of black women is stupid again. I know plenty of black women who, A, don't act like Jasmine Crockett, and B, wouldn't like Jasmine Crockett, wouldn't hang out with Jasmine Crockett, wouldn't listen to Jasmine Crockett. They don't think she's cool, smart, or a good politician. I know plenty of black women who are nothing like Jasmine Crockett. So when did Jasmine Crockett become the representative of everybody else? And to make matters even worse, they even want to extend her representation to black men, and that's where I got to... absolutely not. You will not be representing me, Miss Crockett. Sorry, you're too stupid. Your IQ is way too low to represent anybody, let alone people whose IQ is way higher than yours. Absolutely not. Not representing me. You all out there in the audience, you Democrats, you know, you can farm this, clip this, or whatever you guys do. You sycophants out there, and say, you see, Royce is an Uncle Tom. Hey, you know what? If you guys want to roll with the Jasmine Crockett crew, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt my feelings one bit. Not one single bit. I just laugh at it. I'm to the point now, in our 250th year, I was born at a good time. I can just sit back and laugh at some of this stuff, some of these people. Again, like Sneeko, inshallah, every city looks Muslim like New York City. You know, and part of me just says, oh, boy. When are we going to get it on with these folks? Because I don't think they're that tough. I'm just going to be honest. To me, that's to me. Now, I know there are a lot of milquetoast liberals who can't wait for some jihadist takeover. You know, they hate Christianity so much. There's such a deep hatred, a visceral hatred for Christianity and white Christian men. They're willing to become the victims, the slaves even, of a jihadist Sharia law. I mean, it's... These white people who I see, like our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here, who's now running for U.S. Senate, leading the polls, by the way, was endorsed by the Democratic Socialists here in Minnesota. When I see these white liberals wearing hijabs and Palestinian flags and kufis and whatnot, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you're gay. That's super gay. And it's weird, guys. Like, I don't know how else to say it to you. It's just really weird. It's really weird. This infatuation with Islam as a juxtaposition or reaction to Western excellence, Western dominance, Western exceptionalism. I don't know what exactly to call it, but in reaction to, in response to, it's like, you know, Islam is like counterculture to Western Christianity, which is gay. I kind of get a sense of personal, internal discomfort when I feel myself gravitate towards something that's a counterculture, consensus counterculture, right? It's what people used to call hipsters. Hipsters, like, you know, they just counter because they hate life, they hate themselves, they think it's cool to be rebellious, It's like these weird Antifa cosplayers that you see in the street. And we're all afraid of them, which is even more crazy. It's like, why are we afraid of these people? Why are we trying to court these people for their votes? Why are we going over to the left and saying, don't we agree on economic populism? What? First, no, we don't agree. They don't agree. They're communists. They're socialists. And no, we don't agree on economic populism. They don't agree at all. They'll say anything to get power, which is why they will still ultimately vote for politicians on the left or the center right, if need be. They'll support politicians on the center right, at least with the mainstream media, who support the economic superstructure of this country and the entire postmodern world. Of course they will. They're communists. They don't care about the truth. They care about the power. And you only have power if, like, people are afraid. And in some strange place, some dark corner of our soul as a nation, we are afraid of these people. We are afraid of these Marxists. We're afraid of these Muslims. We're afraid of the Zionists. We're afraid to just offend people. I don't know. Maybe I'm unique in that I have zero care about offending anyone. It's no manner of good health to be well adjusted to an insane and sick society. So if you tell the truth in a society that's proliferated lies and deceit, of course you're going to be offensive. Of course you're going to be offending folks. And praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Christ was probably very offensive to some people. Obviously, he got crucified for what he was saying. I just don't understand the fear. You know, this 250th year, let day one of year 250 be the day the clarion call went out. F these Muslims. F these Marxists. F these centrists. F these Zionists. And the list goes on and on and on. And you know what? You look up and you find yourself in what is a very uncomfortable minority. And that's what we're really afraid of. That's how the right in this country has embraced the heresy of democracy. We're afraid of being in that minority. But our founding fathers were different. They fought for minority rights. The Civil War was greatly about minority rights. And you argue, was who's on the right side of that war? Okay, I get it. Details. But ultimately, minority rights is like a fundamental pillar of this nation's core beliefs. Which is why a guaranteed form of Republican government in your constitution, in all the state constitutions, is exactly what we have to stand up for now. But I don't know. People like this guy, Sneeko. It's crazy to me. I'm just looking like, when did these guys become cool? I just got to tell you all, these people were never cool. They were never cool. Never. Where I come from in the neighborhood at school, they didn't have their own lunch table. They sat off with the weird kids and they talked about weird stuff. They dressed weird. You know, they were into goth. Some of these weirdos, these goth liberals who are now the Antifa cosplayers, they ate lunch in the bathroom because they didn't want to be bullied. And it's like, well, you're bullying me. No, we're not bullying you. You're 150 pounds overweight. Your hair is purple. You're wearing goth clothes. And you smell funny. God bless America. We don't want to sit with you. No. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
A microscopic tag being implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix. Graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. The Patriot's choice and globalist's dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Your host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we are here on the 4th of July weekend, year 250. A lot to celebrate, of course. We have a great nation, that's done a great many things in a short 250-year run. The greatest nation, the greatest empire in human history in only 250 years. There's a lot to celebrate in that. There's a lot to be proud of. And we have to be critical and continue to fight for a more perfect union while still being grateful for everything we have. There's nothing wrong with both. There's nothing wrong with you know, both things being true. And that's kind of what our founding fathers envisioned for us anyway, is that we could strive to be the best that we are, that we could possibly be. We could strive to be the best we can be while still being honest about our flaws, our shortcomings. Great, fine. That's what we have to do now, right? It's like, okay, we got problems, big problems. Problem number one, United States Supreme Court. problem numero uno, and it's not even a close second. Numero, yeah, Marxism, Sharia law, I got it. Check, check. Not even, of course, right? Not a debate. Number one functional issue. Number one technical issue, institutional issue. Number one mechanism problem. United States Supreme Court. These people are not playing on the up and up. Let's say, let's just be specific, okay? Amy Coney Barrett, Chief Justice Roberts, not playing on the up and up. Liberals, traitors. I think they're traitors. But hey, you know, I'm the extreme one in the group. I think they're traitors. And I think the right thing for us to do when this is all said and done, when the smoke clears, when President Trump finally gets up the courage, you know, the amount of courage that we really shouldn't even ask him to have at 80, right? Because when our founding fathers built this country, these men were in their 30s. Men are naturally a lot different in their 80s than they are in their 30s, especially if you grew up on a pre-RFK Jr. American diet. Don't look too good at 80. And President Trump's no different. I mean, what he's been able to do so far is world-beating for 80. But come on, right? And so still, we ask him to do this incredible thing, and maybe he will, maybe he doesn't, but he definitely should. And that is just take the country, man. Just do it already. We're waiting. We're all sitting here. We all got our popcorn. We're waiting. We're locked and loaded. You know, we're by our televisions, just waiting for the announcement. Just do it already. What are you going to argue with Amy Coney Barrett, the liberal white woman, for how long and about what? Birthright citizenship? We're going to let the Chinese Communist Party or the, you know, our Gulf partners, even the Europeans, we're going to let them dump their citizens into our country on H-1B work visas or whatever other, you know, whatever other loophole? Seriously? And we're not toning anything down. We need to restart the mass deportations. We're not toning it down one bit. Great. We celebrate. Sing kumbaya. America is you know, a beautiful country, a great country, accomplished a great many things, the red, white, and the blue. Amen. Praise be to God. You know I love it. But we better start kicking in some doors here, or this country ain't going to be a country much longer. I mean, we're right there. We're right on the edge. President Trump's starting to play with the, you know, with the real. He is. He's starting to go there. He's saying these communists are making a play. They made the play. They made the play. They're rounding third base. We better get real serious about that. They're not. They didn't bunt. They didn't lay down a bunt. They didn't hit a ground ball. Okay? You know, they hit a strategic pop fly, and they're tagging up, and they're rounding third. They had a man on second. They hit a strategic pop fly to deep right field, and they're tagging up, and they're going for, they're rounding third. They got a huge, huge lead, an insane lead off that second base, and they're about to round third and come home, and our catcher's going to get the ball, and these people have no intention on playing nice. He's going to run through, and he, you know, like one of those schoolyard baseball games, he's going to take off and missile drop kick the catcher right in the face mask, because that's the way they were trained to play. And right now it seems like we're sitting back, you know, we're going to have that big cartoon-like dent in the front of that face mask and whatnot, and we're going to, you know, get up, and dirt all over our back, face mask twisted, you know, huge dent in the face mask, and pushed it all the way to the side of your head and go, that's not fair. Why, that's not part of the rules. And the umpire's sitting there going, rules? There are no rules. What are you thinking? There are no rules. Rules are pay me. Pay me, sucker. Those are the rules. And you know what? We just don't pay as well as the communists. We just don't pay as well. For a capitalist country, we sure don't have too many capitalists. There aren't a lot of capitalists left. You know? And I said this before, and I think people looked at me like I had three eyes or something, a horn sticking out of my head. I go, when the... I said, oh, I think it was on this show. I said, when your number one export is your currency, which fundamentally means that the number one thing you produce is money, which is already a dirty, rotten scam. But Okay. The number one thing you produce is money. Money's at the center of your industrial and consumer-based society. And then you use this economic Ponzi scheme called fractional reserve banking in an institution like the Federal Reserve to socialize all the financial risk when the capitalist countries and corporations, no pun intended, when these country corporations fail, you're a socialist country. You're a communist country. You're not a socialist country. You're just a communist country. And so, you know, we just don't pay as well as these communists do. And we got to get serious about. So what is our strategy? Is our strategy to try and win elections? You know, oh my goodness, Michelle Tafoya can raise a lot of money. It's like, what are you even saying? What do you guys think that's saying? That's what I'm interested in. What do people actually think is meant by a candidate being able to raise a lot of money in a society where we all pretty much agree? I mean, across party lines, we agree that money is a problem in our elections and in our society writ large. Big money, special interest, lobby money, corrupt money, dark money. We all agree that the money is causing a huge problem. So I don't really understand what people mean when they start to clap like seals when a candidate can raise a lot of money. That's a red flag, or at least it should be. In a sane society, a candidate who raised a lot of money would raise red flags. But, you know, we talk out of both sides of our mouth, and that's what I'm really so frustrated with. Year 250, day one, year 250, I'm just sick of people talking out of both sides of their mouth. I just talk straight down the middle, right? It's like, President Trump, cut the nonsense. Stop arguing with the Supreme Court. Don't even ask them. Separation of powers? Are you kidding me? Why are we even playing this game? Why are we even entertaining this nonsense? It makes me think everybody's in on it. Honestly, I mean, maybe I'm in a strange loop or something. Maybe this is the Matrix. Maybe this is a simulation, right? Because God could still be real. Maybe God is real above the simulation. You know, maybe God created the place where the simulation comes from. Who knows? I don't know. Now, I think it's heretical to really, really think that and believe that. I believe that God is real and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But I would be lying if I didn't wake up sometimes and go, are these people even real? Like Michelle Tafoya, is that a real person? Amy Coney Barrett, is that a real person? Does anybody else get that sense sometimes? You wake up in the morning, you turn on your television, you go to your phone, you look up the news, and maybe you're out and about. And you see a 6'3" man with a pink halter top, a plaid skirt, knee-high socks, private school patent leather shoes, private school girl patent leather shoes, pigtails, and hair on his chest and back. I mean, does anybody else out there go, are these people real? It's super weird. And it's getting stranger by the minute. And we all still kind of participate in it, which is even more weird. It's like, how many times are we going to come to the mess hall at night and pretend that there's not a huge, that there's not a giant standing in the middle of the room, you know, ass naked? How many nights in a row are we going to come to the mess hall and not talk about this 25-foot giant standing in the middle of this room, butt naked? What is going on here? It's ridiculous. Say it. Just say it. Say it. The Supreme Court, they're traitors. There's a few traitors. There's a few good. Clarence Thomas, patriot. Alito, patriot. Kavanaugh, squishy at best. Squishy at best. The rest of them, they're all traitors. So you have a minority. Legitimate Supreme Court. And so all the subsidiary courts are fruit from the same poisonous tree. How long you guys want to play this game? Because I'll tell you one thing, they can play this game all day long. They can play this game all day. They don't have a problem playing. This is perfect for them. They're having a blast. The game is designed for them. The house always wins. And then they give us some low-hanging fruit. They throw us a bone, some brittle bone, some piece of dog crap bone. We big win. Keeping the men out of women's sports. That should go without saying. That's not a political, that's not even a real issue. That's not even a real thing. Keeping the men out of women's sports. That goes without saying. Or it should. The fact that we, the people, have to view that Supreme Court decision as any type of significant political victory tells us the entire problem. Us. It's us. It's us. It's you. It's me. It's President Trump. President Trump, with all due respect, love you. Not holding my breath for an endorsement here. You know, just every Tom, Dick, and Muhammad. From here to Delano, you know, is 100% never Trump rhino. Just shill for the status quo. And it's, you know, Michelle Tafoya is like their, you know, she's like the darling of the center right, which is gay, super gay, right? They called me Royce White is a black face for white supremacy. He's a darling of the alt-right. It's not the alt-right, I'm just right. I'm just right over the effing target is what I am. Just right, not alt-right. And I'm nobody's darling. I tell people the way it is. This is just how it is. Michelle Tafoya, darling of the alt-right. No, sorry. Darling of the center-right. Gay. Super gay. It's just gay. The whole motif. It's like, well, she can win if she, you know, we got to convince these suburban white women. What? Convince them of what exactly? Convince them to take their husband's balls out of their purses? Convince them that maybe men do have some utility in life? Convince them that the entire organizing principle of their political philosophy should not be that men, white Christian men or America as a nation with borders is the crux of their problem in their life? No, you're unhappy because you're a narcissist. You're not pleasant to be around. You think the world revolves around you. And you have stupid politics. You don't live by, in reality, with logic or common sense. And it's really hard to be around people like that. It's really difficult to be around people who have zero logic or no common sense. Really difficult. As much as some middle white American men, and I'm not just saying a white American men because it's across every race and creed, but I know there are a lot of men who put up with it because the sexual marketplace is so unstable in our society, but nonetheless, they're not happy. And it breaks my heart to say, it really does. I hold no quarter for these people because I find you too weak to sustain a nation, but it breaks my heart to be at a state fair, the Minnesota State Fair. I'm outside the DFL booth. This is the Minnesota Democratic Party, Democratic Farmer Laborers Union. It's what it really is. But I'm outside of their booth at the state fair, and I'm just asking people questions as they come by. Men, I'm saying to them, what are your top issues? And 70%, I'm going to say, conservatively, 70% of the men who I asked their top issue at the Minnesota DFL State Fair booth said women's reproductive rights. What? You know? Okay. All right, dude, like, your girl's not listening, dude. She's over there. She's over there at the corn dog stand. You know, she's giving a wink and a nod to the black guy with the dreadlocks who's serving corn dogs over there. She's not even in earshot. And you're over here saying women's reproductive rights is your number one issue. Where are you? Where is your sense of sacred honor to your country? To your fellow men, to yourself, to your children, to your posterity. Where is your sense of legacy, of civic duty, patriotism? You're just going to throw it all to you. And this is America. We're obsessed with women in this country. And not in a good way. Not in a good way. Not in a Sean Connery kind of cool way. Not in a James Bond way. You know? James Bond had a cool kind of relationship and you know, some slight obsession with women. We're not the cool James Bond character in this play. We are, I don't even know what's a good character. Help me out there in the audience. Let's think of some, you know, some motifs of characters in American cinematic history that we're that guy. We're just throwing our country in the, I mean, in what world? And you think about, just think about Minnesota. Minnesota is the perfect microcosm. I guess we're going to, as much as we're moving to a country where white people are going to suddenly vanish because we want to, you know, systematically weed them out. I mean, as far as the left's ideology goes, they want to get rid of white men. I mean, their goal is pretty brazen. It's like, we're going to get rid of all the white men. Whoa. Well, what about the white liberal men? We'll get rid of them last. Because that's what you do to a cuck. You use him, and then when he's no longer useful, it's sayonara, sucker. Right? But that's pretty much their organizing philosophy. We're going to get rid of the white men. Okay. I just sit here and I think to myself, why in a place like Minnesota are the majority of the elected officials women anyway? Of our statewide elected officials, the majority of them are two senators, women, congresswomen. You got three women on the Democratic side. Lieutenant governor's a woman. You got a governor who is half a fag. So, I mean, hey, what do I say about that even? Tim Walz, I mean, he's about as light in his loafers as you could possibly get. So does he really count? Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison's effeminate at best. You know, but even him, you got one guy, okay? One guy, you know, the mayor, Jacob Fry, he's running around the Minnesota Pride Parade with Daisy Dukes in a tank top. Woman. Where are the men in Minnesota? Where are the men? And I'm not talking about the elected officials, but they represent the people. And we just have an obsession with women in Minnesota that is profound. A profound obsession, an unhealthy obsession with women. And I think it's nationwide. And I think it is more on the men than it is on the women. I think it's a complete failure of masculinity, and I think it came right through the courts. And I think people like Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Roberts are the source code of the whole problem. I said this the other day on my show, and people, you know, I don't think people liked it, but it's the truth. It's like radical feminism. The courts and jurisprudence in this country has become a pretext for a radical feminist takeover. That's just what it is. By rule of law and by cultural consensus in the court of public opinion. On both fronts, we are living in a radical feminist takeover where in some strange set of circumstances, women are willing to give up their Christian tradition, their own heritage, for radical Islam that A, doesn't like them, B, would never give them freedom or equality. They don't even pretend to have equality for women in Islamic culture. They don't even pretend. They don't even try and hide it. It's not equal. There ain't nothing equal about men and women in our culture. I don't understand why we continue to argue with and then I get Republicans who say, well, you got to win over the suburban white women. Those white women, the white women who would much rather live under Islamic jihad. It's completely as diametrically opposed to their own self-purported political views. They don't live in reality. These people do not live in the same reality as us. You cannot spend a lot of time arguing with people who do not live in reality. But, you know, maybe that's part of the sadomasochism. Maybe we we feel a sense of, we feel a sense of something by sitting there talking to the homeless guy on the corner who's not even coherent. We're making ourselves feel better, right? You stop, you give that homeless guy on the corner a couple of bucks. It makes you feel like you've done a good thing, you know, and he's going to get alcohol with it. And it's like, well, you know, do what you want with it, man. I did my part. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. It actually equals nothing is what you did. It was a decent gesture is what it was at best, but it ain't amounting to nothing. In fact, you might be hurting them. And then if you got to think about this. And the tax revolt should be on, number one. Let's just make that clear. The tax revolt, even with President Trump doing no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime, even with that, but the tax revolt should still be on. Overcharged for what they did to the Cold Crush, as the satanic rapper Jay-Z once said, that don't make up for it. No property tax, no state income tax in a place like Minnesota. But the tax revolt should be on. Imagine. You pull up to a stoplight and you give a couple of dollars to a homeless guy. And then you go home and you pay your taxes. And the government actually takes your tax money and tells you that it's efficacious to give homeless people clean syringes in places like Minnesota, so their overdoses don't overwhelm the social local infrastructure like the hospitals, but then let unlimited illegal immigrants come to the hospital. I just found this out the other day. I found out some people go to the hospital and just check Hispanic on the forms. Like, you can go to a hospital. This is fucking crazy. You can go to a hospital and give them a fake name. In a place like Minnesota, you can go to a hospital, give them a fake Hispanic name, tell them you're undocumented. They will treat you. And of course, you're never going to get a bill. Because who are we going to bill? And the rest of us are paying for that? What has happened to this country? What has happened to this great nation of ours? You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network. I'm Royce White, your guest host in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3% to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. kpm.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You can call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.